This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Stephen Gutwillig joins me on the program. He is the California State Director for the Drug Policy Alliance Network. Stephen, how are you?
It's great to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Let's start with this. California is about to decide whether or not they want to legalize marijuana, right?
That's about the size of it.
So give us the backstory. When does this happen?
Well, an initiative that qualified recently for the November general election ballot is called the Control and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010. We have direct democracy here in California, and we famously vote on a whole bunch of things. This is how the nation's first medical marijuana law was adopted in 1996, and 13 states in the District of Columbia followed in the subsequent 16 years. And what Californians are going to be asked to vote on in November is an initiative that decriminalizes under 1 ounce of marijuana possessed by adults 21 and older, and then allows every county and city in the state of California to decide for themselves whether they want to set up a system to regulate sales of marijuana to adults as well. There's never been a vote of this kind in the country. The state of Massachusetts 2 years ago decriminalized low-level possession of up to an ounce of marijuana statewide. So it's similar to that. It's the part that's about regulating sales of marijuana, which is believed to be California's number one cash crop, valued at $14 billion a year, that has never been done anywhere. This is about shifting from simply talking about ending the futile attempt to enforce the unenforceable marijuana laws, and going beyond that and saying that marijuana is already such an enormous part of the California economy that at a time of enormous fiscal crisis, we can no longer afford to ignore the revenue that is potentially on the table from the vast underground economy that's already there.
We're talking with Stephen Gutwillig. He's state director of the Drug Policy Alliance Network in the state of California. An historic decision coming up this November, a ballot initiative in California. And as you point out, not only to decide to decriminalize low-level possession, but also to investigate making it possible to actually buy and sell it in low quantities, I would guess. I guess they have to figure that out. What is the argument?
It would be sales of up to 1 ounce at a time. It wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be just complete chaos. There would be an every single state, every county and city in the state, you know, which is boards of supervisors and city councils under what I would imagine would be enormous scrutiny. We'll have to decide all of the regulatory implications. But this is really about saying, you know, enough is enough, or, you know, with the chaos that marijuana prohibition has brought not just California but every state in the country, and finally begin to bring marijuana, which is so widely available and so widely consumed, under the rule of law once and for all.
So what does it look like now? I mean, what are the polls showing you?
It's a little early to say. Most ballot initiatives don't really get underway as far as campaigning and polling until the summer. The polls last year indicated that there was a significant majority of Californians, 56% in a field poll that was done, a prestigious poll that was done statewide, indicated that 56% of Californians were ready to not only end marijuana prohibition, but to begin to treat marijuana similar, you know, in a similar way to the way we treat alcohol and tobacco, which are two other, you know, widely consumed substances, both of which, of course, are objectively far more harmful than marijuana has ever been.
So between now and then, of course, you and your team will be very busy making an effort to educate voters from your perspective about what they need to be keeping in mind when they make this decision. So let me ask you, what do voters need to be keeping in mind in California? And I'll let local listeners here know that, you know, so goes California. What's the saying? So goes California, so goes the rest of the nation. California is often leads the way on this kind of thing.
And we're very, you know, we're very aware of the way that policy changes here potentially resonate across the country, you know, given the size of this state. Well, most people already know in their gut that there's something terribly wrong with the state of the, you know, drug policies in this country, that the war on drugs in general and then marijuana prohibition in particular has been an enormous disaster. I mean, we're spending $8 billion a year in this country enforcing these unenforceable laws and have arrested upwards of 20 million people since 1965. And today, marijuana is more widely available, more widely consumed, and cheaper than it's ever been. And this is shades of what alcohol prohibition brought to the country in the 1920s and 30s. And when you ban a substance that is already so widely available and so widely consumed as marijuana, it's doomed to failure. All you do is generate a massive underground economy, a black market, with all the crime, violence, and corruption that goes with it. And you add to that out-of-control youth access and mass arrests with, you know, profound immoral racial disparities at the heart of those arrests. There's just nothing good that has really come from marijuana prohibition. And, you know, as I've said, I think Californians are ready to say it's time to try something new. Let's control marijuana, regulate it the way we do most widely consumed commodities that carry some risks, and bring it out into the sunshine and regulate it the way we do other products.
Stephen Gutwillig is the California State Director for the Drug Policy Alliance Network. California facing an historic decision in November whether to decriminalize marijuana use. So that's got to be one of the key arguments, though, is getting municipalities, state governments, local governments in on this underground market, because we're talking about billions of dollars. Because you could, if you can find out a way to buy and sell this thing in low quantities and tax it, I mean, what does this represent just to California alone?
Now, Corey, you're absolutely right that at this moment, because of the extent of the fiscal crisis in California, which is, you know, among the worst in the nation, that alone has put the question of shifting marijuana policy and ending decades of failed marijuana prohibition front and center. It has created a mainstream topic here. And the State Board of Equalization did an analysis that determined that if the state regulated and taxed marijuana similar to the way it does alcohol, that would generate $1.4 billion in California alone. Although, you know, the numbers in California are actually quite staggering. We have estimated deficits of over $20 billion for the next 5 years. So just, you know, everything pales in comparison, and $1.4 billion is, you know, isn't the change you find in the couch. I mean, it's a significant amount of money, but it's obviously not going to solve the problems that we have in this state. However, it is a step in the right direction. It represents what's desperately needed in this country, which is the beginnings of an exit strategy from the war on drugs and a way of looking at marijuana that is about acknowledging reality and not burying our heads in the sand. It's about figuring out how to bring it under the rule of law, as I've said, and to, you know, and to stop wasting what are becoming incredibly scarce law enforcement resources. I mean, we just simply can't afford to chase around low-level marijuana offenders, which is the rule across the country, not just in California. You know, when the thing that most people don't generally realize is the scale of marijuana enforcement in this country. We arrest over 850,000 people in this country every year on all marijuana offenses, but 90% of those arrests are the lowest level marijuana consumers, literally arresting people for possessing a joint. When, you know, and those, you know, those 90% of marijuana, low-level marijuana arrests represent more than all violent crime arrests in this country combined. This is a ridiculous use of law enforcement resources. There is arguably no law in this country that is as widely enforced and yet considered unnecessary by so many Americans. Super majorities of people in this country, nationwide, 70-80% of Americans believe that low-level marijuana possession should be treated as an infraction like a traffic ticket, that people should not be arrested, let alone go to jail for it. And there's a complete disconnect between that fact and the way marijuana laws are enforced in this country.
My guest is Stephen Gutwillig. He is the California State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance Network California. Historic vote coming up in November as Californians will decide once and for all whether they want to decriminalize marijuana use in the state. Let's bring the listeners in, 977-1070. You for it or against it? I mean, is it time? Is this just big government run amok, or is this a necessary war against the small-time marijuana smoker? Tom is on the program. Tom, thanks for joining us. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Coy. I'm curious about whether your caller is contending that by legalizing it, this will stop the illicit growing, manufacturing, and use? Or does he think that just because people are going to be able to pay for it now, they're going to stop doing it themselves, and therefore we don't have to enforce that anymore?
That's a great question, Tom. What I think is going to happen, because right now marijuana is controlled primarily by criminal cartels, both in this country and in south of the border. There's been a lot of focus on cartels in Mexico in particular, as well as the enormous experience that law enforcement has eradicating illegal grows on public lands in California, all of which is made possible and frankly made necessary by prohibition. What would happen in California, and obviously this isn't going to happen overnight, and it's certainly not going to happen if California does this all by itself, but it will begin the process of undermining the monopoly that criminal cartels currently have over every aspect of this enormous underground market, begin to bring it into the light of day, regulate it, and begin to diminish the control that and the frankly the profits that the cartels currently enjoy. This is by far the most lucrative product that drug cartels have. I mean the profit margins that they generate from marijuana are reportedly $5 to $6 to $1, and they are going to finally have to compete with a regulated market, and clearly most adults would prefer to purchase marijuana that they're already using from a legitimate source, even if it potentially costs more money. I think most of us know that people don't want to have to pursue their drug of choice from an illegal market, and that there will be, no one really knows what all of the consequences economically will be, but the price may fall, the price might rise, depends on what taxes are placed on it. There are so many variables, but what's most obvious is that anything that's done to create a legitimate market for marijuana is not going to be good for the bottom line of criminal cartels.
The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Low-level decriminalization of marijuana, that's what's being proposed in California. They'll decide in November. How about Virginia? You're listening. You're thinking about it. 977-1070. I'm interested. What do you think about Virginia? Should we do that here? We had a member of the Scottsville Town Council call for that recently, was not reelected. We also have a Virginia state senator who is calling for that. Stephen, what are your thoughts about Jim Webb?
Jim Webb is a national leader on the trying to identify an exit strategy from the war on drugs, and he has been a clarion voice in Congress, basically saying we have to stop using the criminal justice system to deal with drug issues, that we have to talk about why it is that this country has 5% of the world's population but 25% of its prisoners, a massive expansion in the prison population since the 1980s. And as he said in his profound and important cover story last year in Parade magazine, either Americans are the most evil people on the planet and that we deserve rates of incarceration that put one in 100 American adults behind bars right now, or there's something profoundly wrong with our criminal justice system, so, and the drug war is at the heart of it.
Stephen, let me ask you, who still is standing up and saying, no, keep up the war on drugs, don't do this? I mean, if you do this, the planes will fall from the sky, and next thing you know, nine-year-olds will be toking up on playgrounds, and, you know, who is out there who really sees doomsday from this?
Well, it's what you would imagine. You know, I would refer to them as the drug war establishment, which is organized law enforcement. Beat cops will tell you, and especially retired law enforcement figures will tell you, that they know that it has been an enormous waste of law enforcement resources to chase after low-level drug consumers of many drugs, not just marijuana, but that it is just not a great use of resources to make criminals out of people solely based on what they're putting in their own bodies, and they are, you know, when they aren't hurting anyone else. But whereas the law enforcement lobby, which is, DA's associations and police chief associations, are in lockstep, basically suggesting that what they're doing is keeping our community safe by criminalizing tens and tens of thousands of people every year. What we all know, that there really is no relationship between public safety and the number of people who are actually locked up, particularly the number of low-level, nonviolent drug criminals. There's something else going on entirely from issues of public safety. A lot of it is just simply the system run amok. You know, it's a kind of inertia that's taken place through the escalation of these, the incentivizing that has occurred financially in the enforcement of these laws. It has very little to do with with keeping our community safe.
I've always found it, interesting that some folks on the right, the first thing they say they believe in is less government, when in fact they're fine with big government when it comes to military spending, when it comes to police efforts against, somebody smoking a joint, when it comes to, a conversation a woman's having with her doctor, or, what's going on in the bedroom. They'd love big government then.
There is a great deal to be said that the war on drugs is an enormous violation, not just of civil liberties, but of basic American values of individual freedom and the sovereignty that each of us is supposed to have over our own minds and bodies. It is a basic principle that what I do with my body should be up to me if I'm not hurting anyone else. And the drug war is completely flouts that. It is based on arresting people solely based on possession of drugs. They aren't, the overwhelming number of drug arrests in this country are not for trafficking, they're not for manufacture, they're overwhelmingly busting low-level drug consumers, of course, many of whom are drug addicts who have a health problem that are being put in cages rather than being given treatment.
Now, what about the claim that, marijuana is the gateway drug, and if you legalize that, next thing you know, 15-year-olds, they'll all be on cocaine?
Even the federal government at this point admits that the gateway theory around marijuana has no basis. And just, in brief, it really, really doesn't. Overwhelming majority of people who try marijuana, which at this point is a mainstream recreational drug used by 100 million living Americans today, according to federal statistics. It's 1 in 10 Californians, also according to federal statistics, 43% of all Americans, according to the World Health Organization. I mean, this is, a widely used recreational drug. We would all know if it was primarily a gateway. Obviously, marijuana is a psychoactive substance. There are harms associated with it. Those harms are wildly lower than those of already legalized, regulated substances called alcohol and tobacco. And the gateway it's really kind of the opposite. Marijuana users overwhelmingly only use marijuana. They never go on to use any other illicit substances. Marijuana, in fact, is a is an endpoint drug for most people. It's the only illicit drug they ever use, not the first one.
Stephen Gutwillig, he is the California State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance Network. Stephen, we'll get you on the program again soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.